So, good morning, everyone. A few days ago, I gave a shiur based upon the commentary of my great-grandfather, Aruch HaNer, on the Agadah of Pesach. And as we're just also producing a new edition, I'll just make a few introductory comments that we know that two of the great powers in Western Europe to save Orthodox Jewry, one was Rav Samson Kol Hirsch, whose writings have enormous impact also today on all aspects of the inner significance of the mitzvot, and also the deeper spiritual significance of the verses of the Chumash and Tehillim, and in fact form inspiration for thousands, especially of Kiruv workers. That was some sort of wish. Apart from what he did for the community, apart from the inspiration his teachings gave to start the Aguda, which we've described in the last few shiurim. And it's clear to me that I was brought up in a home where we had all his writings. At the same time, my great-grandfather, Aruch HaNer, he had a yeshiva. He was the only yeshiva attended by Rav Hirsch. He came to Smicha. The other great person was Rav Zio Hildesheim, who founded the Rabbinical Seminary in Berlin. Also a great power in not only protecting but spreading what we call Torah true Judaism in Western Europe. And that was very much appreciated by all the Gedolim of Eastern Europe. And they were both Talmidim of the Aruch HaNer. Now, the Aruch HaNer is very, very well known for his detailed commentaries on some of the most difficult tractates of the Gemara. He's equally known for his shutim, for his responsa, Nalacha. And he's also becoming more known for his drush. So, if one analyzes drush, he made great use of the concept that all the external mitzvot in their detail have an inner meaning, which is described in his classical work, the Chorev. And later on, in his more detailed analysis of the offerings, Beit HaMikdash, of the measurements and colors and so on, of the sanctuary, of all the different mitzvot, tzitzis and tefillin, which he used to call, you know, the basis of symbolism. And if we analyze it, and this example which I started with a few days ago is a good illustration, he's drush, and he even himself says drush is a meshivin ala drush. You know, you can't bring proofs from the droshes of the sages to decide halacha. But he believed very much in trying to understand each mitzvah from all its laws and to see the musar in the mitzvah. And it's shown in this. We all know it. In this mitzvah, which we're going to deal with a little bit today, as long as there's time, which is the mitzvah of not eating and not possessing and also removing from what's the main every aspect of chometz. So the sages already say, they use this as a constant parable. They say, Where do we learn from that you mustn't have chometz? We even learn it from the way of baking matzahs. Because it says in the Chumash, which we're going to read on Shabbos, otherwise it's given in the first parsha addressed to all Am Yisrael, all the details, what you have to do Seder night, and before Seder night, it says, Ach bayom rishon tashpitu zohom ibotechem. You have to destroy all leaven or rising bread from your possessions. This is the mitzvah of removing chometz. Since you have to remove all chometz, we certainly have to make sure that, it says then also, ushmatim et ha-matzot. You've got to look after the matzot. The sages say, al tirga matzot el ha-mitzvot. It's the key word you give. Don't read only matzot. What's the purpose of a matzah? And why do we have such a contrast between matzah, which is a mitzvah to eat, and chometz, which is a sin for which there's even karet, if you eat it? It's the same material, except that one has in it a fermenting agent that causes it to swell. So the sages of shmatem et ha matzot. From here we learn out that if you want to really produce the correct matzah on the high level, you've got to make sure from the time of kneading the dough that you're putting water in with the flour until the time when it's the completed baked product, it should not more than 18 minutes, which means that you've got to use the power of zerizot. You've got to be quick, get on with it. Yeah? You've got to, in life, according to the way of the Torah, this was emphasized to the people of Israel. So therefore it says, the shmatim et ha-matzot, just like with the matzot, you've got to use every opportunity to do good. With the matzah, to produce it, it should be in time. If it's not in time, it might become chometz. If you let the dough rise, then there's already a possibility that it's got the classification of being like sa'or. And the sa'or is also used by the sages for the power of the Yetzahara. Now, chometz represents the Yetzahara, and matzah represents the mitzvot. And the first thing the people of Israel had to learn was to remove the individual and the national Yetzahara, and to go and cling to the Yetzahara Tov, which means to follow Hashem, the mitzvot. Therefore they say, Im yavo elecha mitzvah, look at the Rashi next week's parsha, Chodesh, it says, if a mitzvah comes to your hand, asei ota miyad, do it immediately. Yeah. Like I'm going to tell you, I won't say his name, but there's a certain person, ask him to do something, whatever it is, even if it's not necessary, he does it immediately. Is a fantastic example of a person who fulfills this. You've got to do something straight away. You don't go and delay things. Not like me, I have to delay so many things, because I have so many things, I don't have the ability to do it always. You know, people ask me, can I see you? I can't, I've got to overthink, what's my priority at this moment? They're dealing for that as well. But each person has got its maximum. If you want to see his resort, well, those who were fortunate enough to join in yesterday saw it really at one. The zrizot yesterday was better than I've ever seen at any hand matzah bakery. So, good example of zrizot. But the same zrizot which you have, if somebody needs help, do the same zrizot. Same thing. So, person, as much as you can, person's got to do zrizot. Get on with the job, we say. In a good business also, good business will be successful, get on with the job. If you be laid back and say, wait, that's the way that you become impoverished. And certainly spiritually impoverished. If you want to grow in Torah and in good deeds, you've got to have the resource. So the sages say it themselves. You see, the sages say there's a symbol. It's not just, and it's like this. Rav Hirsch, in his commentary, he develops this concept brilliantly. Because he says, this, if you go into the whole subject of chometz and matzah, now this is so important, so his main approach is, this was and commands were given to the nation, not just the individual. Chatur Chodesh Hazeh speaks about Kiddush HaChodesh, how to fix the calendar, how not to celebrate the Pesach, and the Pesach communal offering. Then it says, Chometz, it represents when a person is laid back and doesn't get on with the job. Matzah means get on with it. If you want to be the people of Hashem, you've got to be like in the army. The army, they don't let you wait. We're in the army of Hashem. And Hashem says, that's why Am Yisrael has to come out quickly from Mitzrayim. Why? Because that's the Yetzara takes, he said like this. What was the quickness? The quickness is a bit like the Maral, also goes a little more deeply. He says that a person has to recognize that the quick transformation of being slaves in Egypt and then becoming the redeemed people of Hashem, to recognize it comes from Hashem through all his miracles, you see that it's not just the gradual development of a self-made nation, which is how most nations would describe their origin. We made ourselves. No, it says, according to the Torah, you didn't make yourselves, I made you. The essence of the Seder Nayit is to know Am Yisrael was made into a nation by Hashem. We weren't really fit for it, but Hashem pulled us right up. And therefore he told us, do it in a hurry. Because if you stay a bit longer, then you'll go back to the Egyptian outlook upon life. In fact, some of them couldn't get rid of it entirely. And you might even get back to the physical enslavement as a result. So you've got to get on with it. And since today we're in that situation, we know the Torah community today, we have to get on with it and not be laid back and say, well, Hashem will help. No. In fact, in the terrible suffering that will come upon Am Yisrael, as is described by the sages, it ends with, the only one we can rely upon is Hashem. So Reb Chaim Volozhin, it comes from Reb Chaim Volozhin's statement, when they're gone, he said, this is part of the curse. If we say Hashem will take care of everything, oh no, we've got to do it. We've got to do our part. We're not doing enough. Today, it can be proven even that if we'd have enough people today in the Torah community who would really dedicate their lives to Kiruv, we could bring all Am Yisrael to Teshuvah. Even the most extreme ones on the other side, they're all in a situation. They haven't been approached yet. And it can be proven from the fact that when people are approached in the right manner, each one according to what he needs, who are not yet religious or think they're not religious, they'll make them religious, without a doubt. Because today there's so many proofs, absolute proofs for the existence of Hashem, absolute proofs for the high level of scientific truth found in the Tanakh from all angles, absolute proof that all the mitzvot come from Hashem. You can prove it today. But the proofs depend upon what a person is willing to accept, the different types of minds available. So you have different kinds of people, different approaches you have to use for different groups of people, different types of people. And if we all do it, there's no question, there's so much siyata d'shmaya help given today to bring every Jew back to his origins, so we've got to take hold of it. Use this damnut. But that needs a lot of zrizot. So, this is how Rav Hirsch develops the concept that Chometz represents the national ego, which is constantly mentioned. The Chumash never say that Kochi v'otzimati, that my strength and the force of my power has produced this success. Whether it's a success of the nation or success of the individual, whether it's physical, material success or whether it's spiritual, never say that. Because if you say that, you've forgotten Hashem. Don't forget Hashem. He's the one who gives you. Who anusel lecha koach lasot chai? He gives you the strength whereby you can produce success. But you've got to know he's the one who gives you the strength. If you're able to be good at business and make success, it's Hashem who gives you the mind for it. You've got to recognize it. And if he gives you a mind to be able to learn Torah, to spread anything of truth in the world, it's he who gives you the strength. And he wants us to recognize it. All the mitzvahs are there, we should recognize Hashem. That's the concept of all the blessings before anything that we do. So So this is the major lesson, and a very important lesson for the nation. If the nation is led by people who say, I am the one who has saved the people, my army has saved the people, forgetting Hashem. So this is the lesson of Chometz, how it's important. It was important when Am Yisrael went out from Egypt, and it's 1,000 times more important today. This is the lesson. That's how Rav Hirsch develops it. But it's already mentioned, you know, as well, all the Sforim, all the Midrash mentioned. So I'm going to show you, and that's my view, in the case I don't, and people don't always like to hear this, Rav Hirsch, inspiration came from his few years in that yeshiva of the orphan there. Yeah? And he admits it also, you know, which I teach. And then after it's an altana. So, because, but he developed it. Rav Hirsch developed by the Orach Ner. You find it in his analysis of the page in front of you. So the page, I'm going to paraphrase it. The page in front of you deals with the question of the mitzvah of bitul and biul. Leiv chadash al de bitul and biul. You have it there. How to produce a new heart through the mitzvah of nullification of the chometz and destroying it. So he says, even if a Baal Teshuvah has taken from himself, hirchek mikipa, perhaps I'll just say it in English for lack of time, he's taken away from himself, being ruled by evil material desires and all types of sinfulness. He becomes a vessel that is prepared and purified from absorbing forbidden characteristics, as the Azov Shasha Darko, Vish Aven Machshavotav. That a person who is wicked, Hashem says, forsake your wicked path, and the path means the character. And a man of iniquity, who perhaps doesn't do evil, but his mind is filled with evil thoughts, then he can empty out his heart from these evils. Then he, but he shouldn't leave it like that. Then he has to sanctify. He has to sanctify his heart to serve Hashem. And there are two other things required for him to reach perfection. First, he's got to transform his evil actions by good actions. That will outweigh, at least, weigh as much as the evil action did before. How does he do it? One is by being, to some extent, introducing self-discipline in limiting his materialistic inclinations, and the other way is to pursue the mitzvot. Then a further aspect is he has to perform in his own character, chatati negdi talmid, that my sin is constantly in front of me. He should remember and be ashamed of his previous actions. And when he becomes strong, he should seek from the Holy One, blessed be He, should give him a new heart. Leiv chadash, ruach chadasha. A person should have a new heart, a new spirit, to become strong in the awe and the love in front of Hashem, that he shouldn't fall back into folly. But how can he do it? So there's a hint in searching for the chametz and destroying it. So now, to demonstrate this, there's a Gemara in Pesachim, and here the Orach Haner does the following. He takes a piece of Gemara which deals with halachic aspects of Habodek Tzarich Levata. The first two searches for the chometz all just to nullify. You know, on the night of the 14th of Nisan, we all search for the chometz. Going to search in every area, and then after the end of the search, we nullify any chomes that we didn't find. In others. And then, next day, we burn up all the chomes that we did find, and we make a further nullification of any chomes that we're not able to burn up. So it says here, what is the power of having a new heart? That we call that teshuva. And the sage already taught us the main aspect of teshuva. How do you know you've done real teshuva? If you come to the same situation of temptation, where you gave in to the temptation, in the same manner, sages say, he sinned with a woman in a certain place, and then the Rambam puts it, the Gemara puts it that way as well. He's got the same energy as he had before, the same materialistic impulse as he had before, but he controls them. And that's what Kohelet says. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, number 1, it says, remember your Creator in the day when b'churotecha, when you're young. Why? Why is the Bachur given the name Bachur, which comes from the root to choose? Because the power of choice that a person possesses depends also on the power of his Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara, that means the materialistic individual desires grow in a person in adolescence more than any other period in his life. Because that's when a person has to make a choice. Is he going to follow the method of giving in, his strong instincts? Person when he's not yet a mitzvah, generally speaking, he has also materialistic and sexual desires, but they are weak. And he feels to some extent in control of his parents and his teachers. But then, in adolescence, called a na'ar, na'am is he wakes up to his whole character. And he recognizes then that he's got extreme materialistic ambitions, and sometimes passions, for food, for drink, for enjoyment, for wealth, and for pleasure. The pleasure instinct is strong there. So he has to decide, am I going to use this pleasure instinct just to satisfy myself? Or these instincts for fame, so on, for money? Or am I going to use it to become saintly, to follow the conscience? So the Kohelet speaks about this. And you know the Kohelet does not mention the name Hashem or the name Elohim. And the tradition is that Kohelet was a reflection of some of the droshes he gave on Sukkot when representatives of the other nations came because they brought an offering in the temple this time. And also came from Greece. And that a lot of the in Kohelet is filled with concepts that you find in early Greek philosophy. And the Greeks also admitted that the source of their wisdom is from Kadmos, from Kedem, from the East. So, in fact, I had a scholar here who published a book, Oxford University Press. You know that that Hebrew is Greek at that extent, based on these concepts. But the truth is, it's the other way around. Greek is Hebrew. Everybody admits it there. The alphabet comes from the alphabet. We know that the writing came from there, but also wisdom came from there. As it says in the Tanakh, that his wisdom, he was regarded as the Shlomo, the wisest man in the whole of the Middle East. It says in the Malach, Book of Kings. Anyway, so he speaks here to mankind. He says, remember your Creator in the day when you were Bachur. Why is it called a Bachur? Because his freedom of choice is very important. That's why the essence of education and its importance in the right manner is in the age of adolescence. When people formulate their basic motivations. That's what he says here. Do it early. Don't go and say, I'll wait. First, I'll go and satisfy all my instincts. Yeah, I'll follow. And then there'll come days, I've got no willpower left. Person becomes very old, his willpower becomes to some extent more inactive. His strength isn't enough for that. So Ika Teshuva Menu Rav. The main power of Teshuva, therefore, is that when a person is in adolescence, when he wakes up, because Litna'im means to wake up, his personality wakes up. Imuk Okoho, when he has great strength. So it's like this. Why is it called a Bachur? Because then he has most choice. And some of them say, we call them Bachur and Bachura. It applies also to choosing a soul partner, a marriage partner. That's the time when you want to choose. You think to yourself, deep down, but everybody, once he reaches the age of puberty, is already thinking, what type of partner will I have? The girl thinks of the boy, and the boy thinks of the guy, thinks of the girl, and vice versa. They're thinking over themselves. What's it going to be like? So therefore, that's the time when you can still choose. But after you're married, really, ideally speaking, you have no choice left. Yeah. This is the external aspect. You don't call Bachur Bachura anymore. Once they're married, you call them Ish V'Isha. Why? Because we do hope that each one finds his true Zivug. Yeah. If you find the true Zivug, you've got to have an attitude, that's for me. And then you'll be happy. That's Motza and Moitza. So you know what that means. Of course, you've heard it probably. They used to say, when a person gets married, is it Motza Isha Motza To, or Moitza Ni Mami Movesis Isha? But there's a deeper concept here. A person goes into marriage, he's made his choice, if both sides say, everything, ultimately we've got to choose, and then rely upon Hashem. If your choice is really a choice, a pitoiro, then you should say to yourself, my outlook is, what I've been given, even if sometimes there are such gaps of certain modes of behavior, and sometimes ideas, so it's a challenge in life. But the challenge you've been given. You, the girl or the guy, you've been given this challenge. Work it out, a pitoiro, and you can make sure and buy it. Because the two people come together, and we say it's min hashamayim. It comes through bnei adam. You can't personally say Hashem doesn't make. Hashem isn't the Masadik Kiddushin. Yeah. Hashem gives you the ability to choose one that suits your basic character and your future happiness. Let me just finish it a bit. So then it says, this is therefore an important lesson with regard to Biochomet. Let's see how it works it together. So there's a sugya in the Gemara. Now here really Rav Hirsch and also Roch and Ner go very deep. I've seen some both of Hasidic and earlier interpretations of halachic passages in the Gemara, where the whole of the interpretation is an inward one. You know, you learn halachot in the Gemara, so we have a Gemara on different subjects. You should know there's also a deeper aspect, a pnimus aspect, like there's in the Pesuk of the Chumash, mitzvah. So here, this is a brilliant exposition of Pesachim, page 6, and if you, of this passage, which I can't go into now, but if you're interested, you've got the page in front of you, if you want to work with that page, and take an Askar Gemara, and work it through, you'll get a lot of inspiration. All I can do now is just to begin it. Because the Gemara starts like this. It's not enough to search the chometz and burn it up. No, you've also got to nullify it in your heart. That's the din. That's why we say kol chamira afterwards, which I have to say in English as well, or in any chometz that I found, I'm going to burn. And anything I haven't found, I nullify. And even what I've burned, in case there's bits left, I nullify them. What's nullification? What is it? You have to take it out of your mind. You've got to think that it, you've got to imagine it's just like dust of the earth. But is it dust of the earth? If you've left nice cakes, in your fridge or whatever, are they like dust of the earth? In your mind, they've got to be dust of the earth. You've got to say they're nothing. They're things, dust of the earth that I tread on. But if you, let's say you've got bottles of whiskey and other things, and you didn't manage to sell them, and you didn't burn them, didn't remove them from your domain, so you've got chometz with you, you've got to regard it as non-existent. Hefka, ownerless, two things. It's got to be ownerless. Some say bittul is really making it ownerless. It doesn't belong to me anymore. You say in your mind, I may have cream cakes and all types of storage of fantastic biscuits, and got a lot of whiskey and other things, and for me they are ownerless. In your mind they've got to be ownerless. And out of the dust of the earth, these are two shitters, what is bittul? Bittul's as the time hefka, declaring something ownerless, not yours. And some say bittul is to make it like the dust of the earth. So he says like this, it means you've got to nullify the evil inclination when you're given the temptation in that place with that woman, because that's what the Gemara describes it. You sinned with a woman, the Gemara described, and you gave in temptation, and shortly afterwards you start to become a Baal Teshuva. Then you meet that attractive woman again, and she's ready to sin. She even tempts you the same as she did the previous time. You've got to say to yourself, this evil creation is like the dust of the earth. For me to pursue this pleasure, which is not allowed by Hashem, first of all, it doesn't belong to me. I make it hefka. I am now in a different person. I'm now learning yeshiva. I can't do such things. And you've got to say that. Impossible me to do such things. Not easy. That's it. That's teshuva. That's teshuva shlemi. It's the same temptation. You say to yourself, I'm going to run away from it. It's nothing to do with me. I'm a different person. And also, you, it's like the temptation itself is to me like dust you tread on. This immorality is something which goes away from me. You know, by the way, it's not such a simple matter these days. With all the pornography that exists on the mass media, you don't have the temptation maybe to be actually in a place of harlotry, but in your certain things happen in your body, even stimulate you. So got to work on it. So like a person saying, till now I watched these movies. Today you can see them. I think they say on the iPhone you can see them. So today I watched them. But what do you have to do? Hefka. Hefka means I am now a Jew. I want to learn Torah. And this power is disturbing me. And therefore I say to it, no. Temptation is given to man to say no. Even Voltaire said that. We say in the morning, the advantage of man over the beast is they can say no. Yosef HaTzadik said, no. Say no to pornography. I'm not touching anything that's got to do with not to... And even says this, it's a gift, an instinct of pleasure. So you say, for me, this is no pleasure. This is just groveling in the dust. That's what it's like, the dust of the earth. So that's haboidik sora shivato. You see, and who says that? That's the deep of pshat. It's the pnimius hatoira. It's the whole sogia of a whole omid of Gemara. So I think I probably won't have time and ability to continue this year, but you can continue yourself. You've got this page. It's just a small piece of one, less than a page of Gemara. Read the art scroll, which I was going to expound upon, and carry on reading it here, and it can be a great teaching. And we should all be zoichem yitzhashem to to remove the evil inclination from our midst, to burn up all these aspects of chometz in our lives, and to dedicate ourselves to Shmartim Es HaMitzvos.
Amen.
Yeah. So I'm sorry.
Page six.
The sugya begins. It's got it here also, at the bottom.
On the bottom here?
Yeah, it puts it. Tafwab, yeah. Look, in this, you start this passage. If you want to get to the next page, I'll print out the next page. But meanwhile, there's a lot of insight even in these few lines.
Good.
Thank you very much.